This is the Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God. No one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, 'You must be born from above.' The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who's born of the spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, ready or not, here it comes. We're in the middle of Lent, or at least we're in the beginning of Lent. It goes on a long time, and sometimes it starts to feel like it's taking a long time for us to get to where we're going. But I'm going to suggest that for us to get the full impact of the season of Lent, I want to spend a little time with you today on what we might call some inside baseball type stuff. You may or may not know that the readings and the lessons selected for our worship service, those are not chosen randomly. I don't just usually pick the ones that I feel like preaching on any given Sunday. For the most part, we follow the suggestions of what's known as the Revised Common Lectionary. And this is both good news and bad news. The bad news is that sometimes I'm not a fan of where the lectionary chooses to start and stop different passages. It can be a little confusing. But the good news is that if we follow the suggested readings over a full 3-year period, we will have read virtually all of the Gospels in their entirety. We read Matthew's Gospel in year A, Mark in year B, and Luke in year C. So this year we're in year A, Matthew's Gospel. Now, for you folks who are really sort of on top of things and paying attention, you will have noticed that there are 4 Gospels. There's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Why do we only have 3 years? The answer to that question should be apparent today, if you're paying attention. Because today, although we're in year A, our reading comes not from Matthew, but from John. And so the reasoning is that from time to time during years A, B, and C, we shift gears. We move out of the Synoptic Gospels and we dive into John's Gospel. And the reason for this is deep and very thoughtful, as a matter of fact. All three of the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, pretty much present their Gospels as a narrative. In their own ways, they basically tell the story of Jesus' life, ministry, death, and resurrection. Their styles and their audiences are a little bit different. The way they tell the stories are a little bit different, but they pretty much present sort of a biographical account of Jesus and his life and times. But St. John, John's doing something completely different. John's gospel is not so much about the life of Jesus as it is a real theological presentation of the deity of Jesus. And we pick this up right away, right at the very beginning of John's Gospel in that beautiful prologue from John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John uses every event, every statement, every sign and miracle done by Christ to show us Jesus is God. And if there's any doubt about that, all we need to do is look how John ends his gospel. In the very next to last chapter, John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, John makes this very obvious to us by a statement that Jesus makes, about Jesus. He says in John chapter 20, Jesus' disciples saw him do many other miraculous signs besides the ones recorded in this book. But these are written so that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you will have life. John's gospel is all about the divinity of Christ. And because of this, the smart folks who put together our lectionary make sure that at significant times during the course of the church year that we take a break from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and that we plunge into John. And today we come to one of those significant times. We are just about 4 weeks away from celebrating the most important event in human history, the resurrection of Jesus. And it's right here that we want to get St. John's take on things. In our reading today, we're introduced not just to one of the most interesting characters in the New Testament, Nicodemus, but we're also introduced to probably the most famous passage in the New Testament, John 3:16. More about that in just a minute. I think one of the things that makes St. John's gospel so compelling is that, yeah, we know he's not just telling a narrative or a story, and although he uses what seems to be simple language, John's use of symbol and imagery communicate deep, deep truth about who Jesus really is. Very early in the gospel, and here we are, we're only in John chapter 3 in our reading today. He has Jesus putting forth these profound theological truths about who he is and why he's come to earth. And in our gospel readings today, Jesus communicates that truth by, and I love this, by intentionally using three words that have double meanings. And as we consider these three words during this season of Lent, they don't have to be double trouble for us. They can be a double blessing. Lent is just an especially good time for us to sort of linger a little over these double meaning words so that we can get the full impact of what Jesus and St. John want to communicate to us in this really, really important story. And so in our reading today in verse 1, we meet Nicodemus. And Nicodemus is a VIP. He's not just a Pharisee, but as he's identified as a ruler or a leader within the Jewish community. And while Nicodemus may have some reservations about coming to Jesus, you know, he does show up at night. This character, Nicodemus, we pick up from this story that he seems very, very sure of himself. You get this? He says, "We know that you are a teacher come from God." So here's a little heads up for you. Goes through the whole rest of the story. Very often we get into trouble when we're so very sure of ourselves that we know. Very often it's what we know that ain't so that gets us into trouble. And so I think we want to step really lightly around the pride that we exhibit when we are certain that we know, or at least when we think we know something is certain and true. So Nicodemus knows that Jesus must be from God based on the miraculous signs and wonders that Jesus has been doing over the country. And the only problem with this is that Jesus is always suspicious of people who base their faith solely on miracles. And in fact, immediately before our reading starts, that's right at the beginning of chapter 3, at the end of the second chapter of John, we read this. It says, "Because of the miraculous signs he did in Jerusalem at the Passover celebration, many people were convinced that he was indeed the Messiah." And then this, "But Jesus didn't trust them, because he knew what people were really like. No one needed to tell him about human nature." So rather than acknowledge Nicodemus' flattering remark, Jesus begins to test the Pharisee to see if he really does believe Jesus is from God. And he does this by dropping that first double meaning word on him. Jesus says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born." Anothen is the Greek word. The Greek word anothen means both from above, and it also means again. In fact, different translations of the Bible translate that word in those ways. Our NRSV, from where we took our passage today, says from above. But if you look at the NIV or the King James Version, they both say, "No one can enter the kingdom of God without being born again." And it's pretty clear here that based on what he knows, old Nicodemus latches on to one of those meanings, and he just hangs on to it for dear life. This particular religious leader can't seem to get past the idea of being born again physically. Can one enter a second time into the womb and be born? Kind of hung up on that. And so maybe we can take a little lesson here that'll help us during Lent. What do we miss when we focus just on one meaning of anothen? I think that's something for us to think about the next few weeks. Do we have a different impression about what's going on when we say, to enter the kingdom of God, you must be born from above, or born again? And each one of those has a little baggage attached to it. The point is that Jesus intentionally uses a word here that has a double meaning. And it's not just for the benefit of Nicodemus, but it's also for our benefit. Through our baptisms and through our living as followers of Christ, we are both born again and born from above. And each one has sort of a slightly different feel for us. Something to think about during Lent. Okay, so before Nicodemus has a chance to sort all this out, Jesus drops another double meaning word bomb on him. In verse 5, he says, "Very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God without being born of water and pneuma." The Greek word. And the word pneuma has two meanings. It means both. spirit, and wind. Pneuma is where we get the word for like pneumonia or pneumatic, having to do with the flowing of air or wind. And Jesus follows this statement in three verses later in verse 8 by intentionally, he's intentionally doing this. I love this. He's clouding the issue as to whether or not he's talking about wind or spirit, where he says, no one knows or sees where the wind blows or where it's going. It's the same word, pneuma. But they do see the evidence that the wind is blown through is the basic point. And so it is, he says, with ones born of the Spirit. The message for us today is that, you know, we don't fully understand how the Spirit of God works in the lives of the people of God. We don't understand why the Spirit moves certain people at certain times in certain ways. But we do see the evidence that God's Spirit is at work in the world, even if we don't fully understand it. I think this too is something for us to reflect on during Lent. It's good for us to ask and to be open to the question, how is the Spirit of God moving in and around me at this time? Okay, so back to Nicodemus. At this point in the story, maybe you picked this up, Nicodemus is back on his intellectual heels. He sounds anything but sure of himself at this point in verse 9 where he says, how can these things be? What's going on here? And before Nicodemus can even sort this out, Jesus lays on him the third and probably the most important double meaning word. He tells him, and just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. And the double meaning word that Jesus uses here in the Greek is a word called hupso. And it literally means both lifted up and exalted. And when you think about it, this is an incredibly deep and poignant statement. Because we know Jesus is at once lifted up on the cross. And he's also exalted in this lifting up. Jesus is exalted in his suffering when he's lifted up on the cross. And it's out of that truth that we get the most famous verse in the New Testament. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the key word for us in that most famous verse is believe. No, it's not sin that keeps us separated from God. It's our unbelief. Jesus paid the price for our sin once and for all on the cross. You look in the book of Hebrews, it says, it tells us four different times and uses the very words paid once and for all. So it's not sin, but our unbelief that keeps us apart from God. The good news for us to hang on to during this season of Lent is that everyone who believes in him, who trusts Jesus is who he says he is promised eternal life. I'll leave you this last thought. We touched on this at Adult Sunday School today. As real followers of Jesus, it's up to us to act on that belief. Our response to the grace of God and to Christ faithfulness on the cross is to live here and now the way God intends us to live. That is, loving God and our neighbor as ourselves. Our gospel lesson today ends at the 17th verse of John chapter 3. But just four verses later, Jesus is quite clear about how important it is for us to live kingdom lives as his followers. John chapter 3, verse 21 says this, but those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds, this is great, have been done in God. Trust and true belief lead us to do what is true, so that it can be clearly seen that those deeds have been done in God. Thanks be to God that on this second Sunday of Lent, St. John reminds us that eternal life is offered to all who believe. And he also reminds us that belief includes living the way God intends us to live. We're to love God and love our neighbor, all to God's great glory. Amen.